Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today as we continue an important series of studies on discipleship. And today, discipleship and prayer, how prayer was so important to Jesus, to his first disciples, and also to each one of us. We want to welcome you, and welcome to our Hope Sabbath School team here in the studio. Good to be together again, isn't it?
Yes.
What a great series of studies on discipleship. So much that we can learn. And we're glad that you're part of our Hope Sabbath School team, wherever you are around the world. We get emails from around the world to sshope@hopetv.org. And here are just a few that we'd like to share with you. Thanks to Jacqueline for writing from Canada. And Jacqueline says, "Dear Hope Sabbath School team, I just finished watching Hope Sabbath School and was greatly blessed.
Amen.
I was struggling with what felt like a spiritual attack from the enemy and was suffering a great depression, but I thank God that he has delivered me."
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? "I just love all of you and thank God that I can join you all online." So she must go to hopetv.org/HopeSS or watch on the Hope Channel online. "Can't wait to meet you all at the feet of Jesus."
Amen.
"The one who is our hope and salvation."
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for writing, Jacqueline. And we praise God that Jesus has blessed you through your study of his word on Hope Sabbath School. Here's just a short post from Ghana. And it's from Michael. Michael says, "We teach Sabbath School on Unity FM 106.5 in Ghana every Sabbath morning, and I always listen to Hope Sabbath School for more information." Keep on. I love you all.
Amen.
Well, thanks so much for writing from Ghana, Michael, and we're glad that you're teaching the Word of God there on Unity FM 106.5 in Ghana. That's good news. Dee, thanks for writing from Colorado in the United States. Dee says, "First, I want to tell you how much I enjoy Hope Sabbath School. I don't have DirecTV, so I was thrilled when I checked and found out that I could log on with my computer. I haven't missed a Hope Sabbath School since."
Amen.
"I live about 45 miles from the nearest church in the mountains of southern Colorado. In the winter, the roads can be a challenge. Thank God for your in-depth study of the Bible. I received the study guides, and your presentation makes the Bible study come alive for me."
Amen. Amen.
So even if you're snowbound or if you're stranded somewhere, the Word of God can reach you. And thanks so much for writing to us, Dee, from Colorado. And one last note from Luciana from Romania. And, you know, we get hundreds of emails, but we love to receive them because it's such an encouragement to us. So you write to us, would you, at sshope@hopetv.org. Send it to our team, to our media team, and we're all greatly blessed. And Luciana writes and says, "I found out about Hope Sabbath School just 3 weeks ago from a Facebook page, a Facebook post." So I guess you can go to Hope Sabbath School on Facebook, right? But someone maybe sent a post to her. She says, "Since then, I started to watch Hope Sabbath School from the archives on your website. It's been such a blessing to my life. I enjoy listening to God's Word presented in such a practical manner. Now get this, I watch daily one or two lessons."
Amen.
"And I take notes so I can share them with others when I have opportunity." Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
Go into our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, and she's watching past programs. "The truth you're sharing is touching and changing my heart, helping me to develop a stronger and deeper relationship with God."
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful?
Amen. Yes.
You don't know how many lives have been changed through Hope Sabbath School and how many people have come to know the truth by watching these lessons. I thank God for you, the entire team, for allowing God to use you. And I pray that he will help you to continue the good work you're doing to share the truth about God. That comes all the way. Blessings from Romania. Amen. From Luciana.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for writing to us, Luciana, and it really is an encouragement to hear from Hope Sabbath School members around the world. And if you've not been to our website at hopetv.org/hopeSS, you can, as was mentioned, watch past programs. You can also download our theme song for this new quarter, taken from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. You can download the sheet music, too. You can learn the song and sing it with us. And we invite you to sing with us now our theme song, "Come to Me, All You Labor who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. I am gentle and lowly in heart.
I say amen. How about you?
Amen.
Yes, these are the words of Jesus. And isn't it amazing to think that people in Ghana and people in Australia and people, we had someone from Gabon who wrote to us in a previous broadcast. Someone from Papua New Guinea could be singing along with us as part of our Hope Sabbath School family. We want to pray today for you, wherever you are, and for each one of us here in the studio, that God's Holy Spirit would bless us as we study His Word today. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the words of Jesus, the invitation to learn of Jesus and find rest for our souls. We thank you that we can study today about discipleship and prayer. And I ask that Jesus, by your Spirit, you would guide us into truth today, not only for the blessing of our lives, but the blessing of those around us. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the topic of prayer is a wonderful topic. And when we're talking about being a follower of Jesus, we would expect that prayer would be an important component. We talked about the importance of Scripture for disciples and the importance of sharing truth through story. But now, the importance of prayer. And I'd like to start our study in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, by learning from the prayer life of Jesus. Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 35. And Vanessa, would you begin our study today?
Yes.
In Mark 1, beginning with verse 35 through verse 39.
I'm reading from the New International Version, and it reads, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone is looking for you.' Jesus replied, 'Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also, That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons.
So what lesson do you learn from that story? We've learned that stories are important. They convey important truth. What do you learn from that story? Anybody? Yes, Kenneth.
The prayer life of Jesus.
Certainly it was a priority, wasn't it? Yes. What tells you it was a priority, Tricia Lee?
He had a special place.
Okay, he had a place to go. That's in what else?
He woke up early.
He got up early before everything else. In fact, exactly. They all started coming. Everybody's looking for you. Have you ever had a day like that? Mm-hmm. If you don't start early, you might end up prayerless, right? So priority, a place, Jonathan?
It seemed to affect his decisions. He often made decisions.
That is so important.
People.
Thank you. It affected the decisions that he made. They said, well, everybody needs you here. And he said, no, we need to go there, and we need to preach there too. Stephanie?
It wasn't just any place. It was a quiet place where he could commune with God.
Okay, I guess you could find that in a city. You might have to go into a closet or a quiet room, right?
Yeah.
But he found a place without the radio loud blaring or the television, right? Cut some distractions down. Sam, what else do you learn?
Yeah, I was going to say that he found a quiet place where there were no distractions.
Yeah.
To take his mind off communion.
Right, just to focus on communion with God. So we've got a good start there just by saying this was important for Jesus. Let's look at another text in Matthew 14, 22 and 23. We're building on the importance of prayer for the disciples of Jesus. And Gloria, if you'd read for us from Matthew 14, 22 and 23. Let's see what else we can learn from the prayer life of Jesus.
Sure, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there.
So here we are. Do you know the context? You can see it there in the chapter. What's just happened? Anybody?
The feeding of the 5,000.
Feeding of the 5,000, right? Mm-hmm. And what's the reaction of the crowd?
They want to make him king.
And the reaction of the disciples?
They want to.
They're actually kind of instigating it because he has to dismiss them first. So what lesson can we learn about prayer from this story from the life of Jesus?
It keeps
Lily?
You focused.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just like we had mentioned before, it keeps you focused on what his mission was.
How would you describe the situation in which he finds himself in this story?
Very stressful.
It's a stressful situation, right? Yeah. There's a lot of pressure from people. So what does he do?
He separates himself,
Sam. That's right. He goes away to the mountain, and there he prays. Mm-hmm. That might be a good principle for us. We're like, I can't even think. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
I just noticed that it's in the evening. First we read he prayed in the morning, and now
yes.
He's praying in the evening. So prayer is not just a one, okay, did
oh,
it for the day
you.
And I'm good. If you need it, you do it again, and he made it a
Or if we say, it. Well, I better wait and pray about that tomorrow morning, you'd say?
Pray now.
So that's thank you. That's an important lesson. Gloria.
I also realized that it was after the miracle, and sometimes we only feel the need to pray when we need something or like when we want God to do something for us. But then after something really big happened and we're so excited, we need to pray also.
And he may indeed have been praying thanks to God, but he's also praying that God will sort out these confused disciples on the boat who are trying to make him king, right?
Yes.
So there's a lot of things. And I like the idea that we don't have to wait for our morning prayer time.
Yes. Amen.
You know, maybe we get into trouble if we say, well, I'll pray about that this weekend. That could be a little late, right,
yeah. Tricia Lee? Gloria's point that something amazing just happened, and this was his opportunity to stay humble, not to get carried away with
yes.
Said all these
oh,
people.
Oh, you're so wonderful.
Of course. And
yes.
Sometimes when we have those big moments in our lives, we have to just pause and make sure that we stay
yes.
grounded and realize who's in control.
Powerful.
Amen.
Jamie?
Yeah, just tagging along to that is just, you know, always knowing his Father's will versus the pressures of the world and where it seems like he's being led, but really what his Father wants.
Well, if we stopped our study here, we'd have a great lesson, wouldn't we? So I just want to know the Father's will, and that means getting away from all the distractions
yes.
and being still and being attentive to God. But let's look at a couple of other stories. This one, I think, has a lesson for us, too. Luke 5, verses 15 and 16. Luke 5, verses 15 and 16. And Jamie, would you read that for us, starting in verse 15?
I will be reading from the NIV. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed.
Now back to what we were talking about earlier. Yes. How would you connect that to what you shared earlier, Tricia Lee?
Not to get swept away with
successful
the crowd.
Moment, right?
Yeah. Don't get caught up in the crowd.
And it's like his ministry's going well, so come apart and pray, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And certainly I like what Gloria said, that I can pray thanks, but I also need to pray like you were saying, Lily, help me to stay focused.
Okay. Yes. Right.
Now, look at chapter 6 of Luke, verses 12 and 13. Chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Nathan, Jesus is about to make a really important decision. Let's see what we could learn from this passage.
Okay, I'm reading from the Contemporary English Version. About that time, Jesus went off to a mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night there. The next morning, he called his disciples together and chose 12 of them to be his apostles.
Lesson?
Pray before making decisions.
Pray before making
big decisions.
Right.
I suppose you could say before making any decisions, you know, do I have cereal or toast, you know, but, you know, I want to pray a prayer of thanks for the food, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I could probably decide whether I was going to put certain toppings on my toast, right? Yes. But I'm making big decisions.
Right.
Would you say more prayer?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
For big decisions?
He prayed all night.
Now, we have a lot we might learn about what he prayed, because Jesus says, don't pray in vain repetitions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's some great prayers like John 17 or in Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. It's not just saying, I love you, God, I love you, God, I love you, God, right? A vain repetition, mm-hmm. right? So we could learn about it. But he was in some intense prayer time.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And we see here also, yes, he was doing the Father's will. And we see in the context of this passage is that his ministry is now coming into focus, where he's going to send these individuals out to go before him to do some preparatory work in these cities before him. But he needs the right people. And here he's praying to the Father to help him in discerning, to make the right selection of these individuals for ministry. So when it comes to the things of God, when major decision has to be made in terms of, say, your career or spouse or whatever you're going to do in ministry, these big decisions, you cannot enter into it without prayer, because it has serious ramifications.
And, you know, I think if we learn to pray morning, evening, Daniel even prayed in the middle of the day, right? Or pray without ceasing. If we've learned to pray, then we will automatically want to pray for the big decisions as well, right?
Amen.
Yeah, Jamie.
Yeah, and, you know, if the Lord, your Father, is your confidant, more than a best friend, you should talk to him. And if you have that constant dialogue, it becomes easier and easier. And in this case, the 12 men that he was going to choose were going to determine the fate of numerous souls.
It was a big decision. But I like the fact that we have big decisions too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we're trying to apply this to our lives today. Well, we talked about an intense time of prayer that he prayed all night. Look at this prayer time in Matthew 26, verses 36 to 41. And Stephanie, maybe you could read that for us. Matthew 26. I just want to say I can't think of praying with such intensity. But I believe that God invites me to that from the example of Jesus, though Jesus didn't always sweat great drops of blood. So, but there may be some times. Let's look at the intensity of this prayer time, Matthew 26, beginning with verse 36.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
there's several really powerful lessons about prayer and being a disciple here. Jonathan, why don't you start us off? What do you see here?
Well, I guess one thing that I found interesting is that, I mean, on the point of, okay, calling us to strive in prayer, his striving was not to convince God of something.
He's not trying to change God's heart. Yeah,
which sometimes I think it can be tempting to think, oh, well, if I pray harder.
Or shout louder. Or,
right. That kind of,
right?
That's not what it's about. That's not the striving.
So his striving is one of, what would you say?
Submission.
Yeah. Submission, exactly. Surrender. Yes. Mm-hmm. Not my will, but your will be done. Okay, Ulrich?
He prayed at a time when he was in deep sorrow and distress. And this can be something very beneficial for many folks. Because there are many folks who are listening to us who, they're going through some things that are very hard, very painful, probably lost a loved one. Or lost a job, or so to speak, and they need to know that Jesus, when he was in sorrow and distress, he prayed
went to his father. To the Father. What's a typical reaction when you go through that kind of very difficult experience? What's a typical reaction?
It's blame God.
Either we blame God, like, why me, and maybe even why me, right? We get angry. Does anybody, do you have a tendency to withdraw?
Yes.
Like, you know, it's like, man, I hurt so much, I don't even want to talk to anybody, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And yet, the example of Jesus is praying. What about the need to have other people praying with you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you hear there, Nathan? He's the Messiah, right? And yet he's asking for, could I call it prayer support? Mm-hmm. What would you learn from that?
He took Peter, James, and John along with him and said, stay awake with me and watch with me. So. I think we learn that we need to come close to others. I think that's why Jesus founded the church, right? So that we have each other to help each other through these times. And there's times when I'm very thankful I have other people that I can go to and we can pray.
Yes. It's true.
Has anybody been blessed to have someone pray for you?
Amen.
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely. I'll say there's a difference too. Sometimes people say, oh, I'll pray for you, sister. But then those who stop and say, no, I'll pray with you right now.
Right now.
That's powerful.
Yes,
that's powerful.
We're going to come back to the importance of praying together. But I know it's easy to say, well, I'll pray for you. Mm-hmm. But to say, let's pray now.
Yes.
There's something. And that's what Jesus was asking for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's quite intense. Lily?
One of the things that outstood for me was that he said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And many times we're like, oh, well, I want to do it, so I don't have to worry about whether I will follow up or not. But even though his spirit was willing, he was still concerned. You know, what if at the end I don't pull through? And I think that's what he was, you know, he was focusing, you know what, make me strong. Not only though my spirit is willing, you know what, my flesh is weak.
And certainly their flesh was weak, right? Because they were just sleeping. Mm-hmm. So, right? They needed prayer, didn't they?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, we will not want to be with you, Jesus. You know, we need help.
Yes.
And prayer... if it was important for Jesus,
how much more for us?
How much more for us?
Yes.
Now, we've looked just at the example of Jesus. Let's look now at some of the specific teaching of Jesus about prayer. And if we come out of this study on discipleship saying, I need to stay connected in prayer with my Father in heaven, and would you also pray for me? I think we're getting close to learning a lesson that Jesus has for us. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. Jesus has some primary teaching about prayer. And Kenneth, do you have that? Would read it for us, starting in Luke 11 and verse 1 down through verse 4.
Yeah, reading from the New King James Version. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Amen.
Do you notice anything about the context of the giving of that prayer that's significant? The context. What do you notice that's significant there?
I think it says when Jesus had finished praying, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us. So they saw him praying.
Okay.
How do we pray like that? He's got such a prayer life, and there's something about the power they must have seen in his prayer, and they said, we want to pray like that.
Mm-hmm. What do you learn about the reaction of Jesus? What can you learn personally about the way that Jesus reacted to his disciples when they said, teach us to pray?
He taught them how to pray.
So what's the lesson?
He answered their questions.
Yeah, he answered it, and he taught them how to pray, pretty much.
And the lesson for us, Lily?
I think he took the time. He actually listened to them and earnestly saw their desire, and he stopped right there and said, you know what? This is how you do it.
And the lesson for us today, Vanessa? I'm just waiting. For the answer is, it is okay to ask how to pray, right? And the primary way that he's going to teach us, thanks for finally getting there, is in the Word, in the stories of Jesus teaching people to pray, right? Yeah. Whether the Lord's Prayer or the great prayer in John 17, where he prays for himself, for his disciples, and then for the whole world. Yes. We can learn. So say, is it okay to ask how to pray? And the answer is absolutely. But ask Jesus and ask him in his word, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. That's what they did. Nathan?
Another lesson is for us not to assume that everyone would know how to pray, you know? When we're discipling others, we shouldn't just assume they know how to pray, but we should pray with them. They can learn by experiencing it with us, but also teach them what the word says about prayer and Jesus' example like we're doing now.
I always remember one time a student came to me and I'd had the students pray in groups of two. And the student came and said, that is the first time anyone has ever prayed for me by name.
Wow.
And you know, we just take it for granted. Some of us grew up in families to pray. Yeah. But to actually have someone bring you before God's presence in the name of Jesus, isn't that amazing? Yeah. You know, so we can learn by listening to someone else pray, right, Kenneth?
And one key about this prayer was Jesus was also teaching them about very key illustration about his teachings.
Yes.
Which you can see in this prayer.
There's so much there, isn't there? It's our Father.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and we begin by praising God. There's so much there. But I just want to do some broad brushstrokes and look at the parallel version in Matthew. You know, Matthew and Luke record the Lord's Prayer. But look in Matthew chapter 6, how it's prefaced in Matthew 6, verses 7 and 8. Because we learned something else from the teaching of Jesus. And Lily, maybe you could read that for us in Matthew 6, verses 7 and 8. Let's see what Jesus says there about not the specific words of praying, like the Lord's Prayer, but our attitude when we pray.
And I'll be reading from the King James Version. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him.
No, I want to come back to something you said, Jonathan, about we're not trying to change God's mind. Does God want to bless his children?
Absolutely.
Yes.
So if he already knows I need the blessing, Well, how would you answer that? If someone says, well, if God already knows I need peace over this trouble I'm having at work, why do I have to pray and ask for that peace?
I really like what she said about this. I remember what words you used, like the relationship, like this. If God is your confidant, I think that was words you used.
Yeah, just, Jamie mentioned earlier.
It's the relationship. It's about a walking with God. It's not a transaction. Okay, if I say such words, then God can do something. It's a relationship. God wants to live with us, and it's in that relationship that God is able to do things.
You want to add to that, if God already knows what I need, and I'm not changing His heart by praying.
He wants us to ask him because he already knows, if you ask, ye shall receive. And by asking him, we're more connected with him because we're able to realize that we can rely on him to meet us with our needs.
Well, and you didn't just make that up, did you? Let's look in Matthew chapter 7, because actually Vanessa was quoting from the Sermon on the Mount. How did she know that? What's the answer?
She's
been reading her Bible, right?
Yeah.
Abigail, could you read for us in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11? Vanessa quoted just the first part of this, but I think Jesus is telling us something about prayer.
And I read from the New King James Version. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him.
Amen. Somebody want to smile and say praise God?
Praise God.
What's the point here? What's the picture of God here?
A loving Father who wants to bless
you. He's saying, ask, right?
Yes.
I want to bless you, but I want to give you the opportunity to ask, right?
Right.
And I'm going to give you the things that you need. Now, I want to share a passage with you. I met a young lady not long ago who grew up an Orthodox Muslim, and she read this one text, and it changed her life. Mm. It's about prayer, and it's found in John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. And Gloria, maybe you could read that for us. Today, this young lady is a devoted follower of Jesus who believes in the power of what Jesus taught in this text. So let's hear it carefully. Maybe we grew up hearing it, but it didn't really hit us how powerful this is. What does it say? John 14, verses 12 to 14.
I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it."
Amen. Amen.
I don't know. Did you hear that?
Yes. Yes.
Whatever you ask
in my name,
He
will do it.
He will do
that. I will do. Why?
To glorify.
That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name. Now, I know we go, wait. Can I ask for a better-looking spouse? could I ask that my car outside become a brand-new car? What's it saying here, and what isn't it saying? Yes, Jonathan.
I think some of the clue might be in the asking in the name, not just, but in the part afterwards where it says the Father may be glorified in the Son. Like, I think when you say in the name, you're actually kind of identifying yourself. So the name of Yahweh, the Israelites were God's people. So yes. When they prayed, they were representing him. So that God, it's about us aligning our lives with him.
Aligning, I like that. I use the expression standing under the authority of Jesus.
Yes.
So if I'm going to do that, I'm going to pray in a certain way, right?
It wouldn't be only with vain reputation. Repetition in this term, it says to glorify, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
So is this prayer request something that would bring glory?
Glory.
Okay.
Yes.
I think some of the early Christians didn't understand this because it's so radical.
Yeah.
To use my favorite word. Yeah, it's a startling comment. Yeah. And so look with me in 1 John chapter 5, because John the Apostle, who recorded the words of Jesus here in his gospel, gave us, I think, a helpful explanation of what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. And by the way, we do not pray as other religions. We pray in the name of Jesus, right? Bishop Lee, could you read that text in 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15? I think John the Apostle gives us some helpful explanation.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him."
Amen. So to pray in the name of Jesus means to pray
according to his will. Yeah.
What was the word you used there?
Alignment.
Yeah, in alignment with his kingdom. And with his will, right?
Yes.
So I've got a friend who needs peace. Is it the will of the Father to give peace to that person?
Absolutely.
So I can pray that with confidence in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. I could pray for protection for someone, right?
Yes.
I could pray for blessing for them because I know. Yes. Now, whether they get the promotion at work, well, Father, not my will, but yours be done, right?
Oh, yes.
Again, bringing myself into alignment with saying, God, I don't know what your will is there.
That's right.
Could it also be not just the praying in his will, but also praying in accordance with that which is connected to his name? So if we are working on something so that this is your name that's at stake, Lord.
Yes.
Prove yourself.
Yeah.
So that would be according to his will as well, but it's also like depending upon his glory, that his glory might be done.
Yeah, right. It brings glory to his name.
Yeah.
Not directly, you know, speaking to someone, but in a sense, what you're doing, you want to say, Lord, let this bring glory to your name.
Yes.
Now, I want to move on to another exciting aspect of prayer and discipleship, and that is praying for other people. Because prayer is not just about me and about me doing well or me getting blessings. It's about praying for other people too. I'd like to begin by looking at two examples from the prayer ministry of Jesus. And then we want to take a look at some other passages that speak about praying for other people. So Ulrich, could you read for us from Luke chapter 22? You have that passage for us. Luke 22, this is the words of Jesus, verses 31 and 32. We're learning now about not just the importance of prayer, but praying for other people.
Yes, reading from the New King James Version. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren.
Amen. That's right. Oh, yeah. What do I learn about praying for others from this testimony of Jesus?
We need to pray for people when we know that they're going through something difficult.
Okay. And I'm praying specifically for someone, you're saying, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
He prays for him by name,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Simon.
Simon,
I prayed for you, mm-hmm. not God bless the whole world. Mm-hmm. I know the world needs blessings, mm-hmm. but I prayed for you.
Right.
And you're saying that prayer was triggered by the fact that Simon had a need?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. He also let him know that he prayed for him, yes. as well. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's another point, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What's the value of saying, again, if you're really doing it, right, rather than I'll pray for you and you don't, right? What's the value of Jesus saying to Simon, Simon, I prayed for you. What's the value of that? Mm. I prayed for you. Mm. Sam?
It's more personal and more direct. I didn't just pray a general prayer, but I prayed for you specifically.
Does it do anything for you today to Absolutely. Know that Jesus prays for you?
Yes. Yeah,
it encourages you.
Yep.
It gives you strength, and you know no matter what, Jesus got your back.
Doesn't say the book of Hebrews say he ever lives to make intercession for us?
Yes. Yeah.
That means not just for the world, but Jonathan and Gloria and mm-hmm. Abigail, right? I'm praying for you.
It kind of shows that he cared about Simon, though mm-hmm. he know Simon Peter had some flaws. This was going to be important because he know that shortly after that, Simon Peter was going to deny him, mm-hmm. and he was going to go through some things. And we saw Simon Peter's reaction that night. As soon as the cock crowed the third time, he was cut to heart because he remembered what Jesus said that predicted he was
going
to
do. Though. I'm praying for you.
But he remembered that Jesus said, I'm praying for you, and that can be very uplifting to a person knowing mm-hmm. that all is not
And
right.
So instead of going out and hanging himself,
exactly.
he repents, right, yes. Stephanie? Yes.
He didn't stop there and just say, I'm praying for you. He
yes.
said specifically why he was yes. praying for him. Yes. I'm praying mm-hmm. that your faith doesn't fail.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he knew that need. And when you hear someone say, I'm praying for this specific thing in your yes. life, you know that they're serious.
Yes.
They're connecting.
Yes.
I Lily. Like that he goes farther and says, you know, that you be strong and that you return to your brethren.
Oh, thank you. There's yeah. more yeah. to yeah. it. It's not just yeah. about you.
No, sometimes when we fall and we, especially when people yeah. kind of not, they predict, you know, they're like, I know you're going through a hard time, but hold on strong.
Yes.
Yeah. But when we fail, we feel like, oh, man, I let them down. I let God down. But he goes farther and says, you know what? Return to your brethren strong. So it's okay you fail. Come back. You know.
John 17 is another yeah. prayer. And by the way, it is okay to pray for yourself.
Yeah.
Jesus True. Begins this prayer by praying for himself. So there's nothing wrong with that. But I would say today from the lesson we're learning, don't just pray for yourself, right?
Right.
Abigail, do you have John 17? Would you yeah. read verses 9 through 11? And then I'll have someone read a little later in the chapter. But let's notice we're talking about praying for others. What do you read in John 17, verses 9 through 11?
And I'm reading from the New King James Version. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are.
And who are the them? Who's the ones?
The disciples.
The 12, right?
Yes.
Praying for his disciples.
Yes.
But it goes on. Look at someone at verse 20 through 23. who has that would read it for us. Vanessa, verses 20 to 23 of John 17. Jesus broadens out his prayer. And let's see what he prays now.
I'm reading from the New International Version. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me.
So I'm praying now for?
All believers.
All believers. Yeah. Those who will hear the stories.
Yes.
Through them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. About me.
Yes.
And the truths that I've shared and come to believe.
Yes.
I pray for them too. So if we had just the example of Jesus, we'd have a great example of praying for other people. Mm-hmm. But I want to look at a few other passages of Scripture if we can. Let's go back to the Old Testament because praying for others didn't begin in the time of Jesus. Daniel chapter 9 has a great prayer of Daniel. I wish we had time to read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to ask us to read the first six, the verses 2 to 6. Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 to 6. Nathan, if you have that. Daniel, by the way, if you read the whole book of Daniel and it has the story of his life, the only thing, the only flaw in his behavior was that he prayed too much to God. Right? Daniel 6. Really? That was the only thing they could find against him, right? Yeah. Nothing in his conduct that was faulted, except when he's praying to his God in heaven. Absolutely he does. But notice how he prays, Nathan, if you read verses 2 to 6, he's not just praying for himself.
And during his first year as king, I found out from studying the writings of the prophets that the Lord had said to Jeremiah, Jerusalem will lie in ruins for 70 years. Then, to show my sorrow, I went without eating and dressed in sackcloth and sat in ashes. I confessed my sins and earnestly prayed to the Lord my God. Our Lord, you are a great and fearsome God, and you faithfully keep your agreement with those who love and obey you. But we have sinned terribly by rebelling against you and rejecting your laws and teachings. We have ignored the message your servants, the prophets, spoke to our kings, our leaders, our ancestors, and everyone else. That's from the Contemporary English Version.
He's not finished with his prayer, but what do you learn about his praying here? We just said that he's a noble man and blameless, and yet he's saying we've sinned terribly.
Like he says we, this corporate sense of identity with God's people. Yeah. He doesn't separate himself. He says we collectively have sinned.
Mm-hmm. And he's praying for his people, right?
Yeah. Yes.
For all of them together. Mm-hmm. Yes, Jamie.
And he approaches God humbly, even knowing that when God does intercede for his people, he probably won't benefit from it. So he really is looking out for others.
There's something of the heart of God reflected here, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a self-sacrificing love. Trisha
Lee. Reminds me of the prayer of Job for his children.
Yeah.
How he himself was not doing these things, but he felt the need to be an intercessor.
Yes.
Approach on behalf of someone.
You know, that's a profound thought. Are there some people that need your prayers today? Yeah. Are there some people that you might pray for? Mm-hmm. That's heavy. You know, you say, I can't pray for the whole world. God doesn't ask you to. Jesus prayed for Simon. We're going to learn some other specific prayers. Gloria.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that sometimes we feel like praying for others means that we are self-sufficient or we have really a certain limit that we can pray for others. But sometimes we might be in our situation, but then it's okay for us to pray for other people. And it doesn't mean that if I pray for someone, it means I am okay with my life or I am perfect, so I'm praying for other people.
A good point. So I can pray for someone who's struggling. It doesn't mean I'm perfect.
Yes.
Well, I'm perfect here, so I better pray for Freddie, you know, because he's really...
Exactly.
No. I'm recognizing that just as I need the grace of God and the help of God, I can pray for that person too. Right, Ulrich?
The context here of this prayer in Daniel is that he had just received a vision, an explanation from the angel of the 2300 days that the sanctuary will lay in desolation. And he couldn't understand, you know, what this vision meant. To him, it seemed like God was extending their punishment. So here he was praying not only for his people, but for some kind of an understanding, you know, of what had just been explained to him. So we see sometimes prayer, when things have been said to us, or news have been brought to us, or we read a passage of scripture, as we discussed earlier in this study, that sometimes you need to pray and ask God just to help you to understand. And we see at the end of his prayer, God give him an explanation of what.
Yeah. So it's much more than, "Dear God, help me to have a nice day," right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is earnest prayer. Let's look at three examples from the New Testament now. One in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Philippians 1, and Ephesians 6 really is an attitude of prayer. But two examples from Paul's ministry, 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 4. And let's see, Jonathan, do you have that for us, verses 1 to 4?
I'm reading from the Contemporary English Version. "First of all, I ask you to pray for everyone. Ask God to help and bless them all, and tell God how thankful you are for each of them. Pray for kings and others in power, so that we may live quiet and peaceful lives as we worship and honor God. This kind of prayer is good, and it pleases God our Savior." God wants everyone to be saved and to know the whole truth.
Now, when it says pray for everyone, but then it says specifically for kings and others in power, mm-hmm. Everyone, could I add something to that? Everyone
around you.
Around you. Everyone within your circle, right? Yeah. Everyone that the Holy Spirit brings to your attention who's in need of prayer. And if there are Christians all around the world, that means we could cover the world in prayer, right?
Yes. Yes.
And it's a good thing to do that. Sam?
Yeah, it kind of strikes me that Christ specifically mentions that we should pray for kings and people in authority, because it's very easy for us to sit back and complain, you know, about our leaders, our church pastors and others, but, you know, Christ says we should pray for them to make...
Amen.
And, you know, I've heard people say when there are elections, whoever gets elected, that person needs prayer, right?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She or he or whoever's running, whoever... We may have different parties, or whoever gets elected needs prayer.
Yeah.
And that's a good point, Sam. Philippians 1 is another beautiful example of praying for others. Philippians 1, beginning with verse 3. Philippians 1. Lily, do you have that?
Yeah.
Beginning with verse 3, and Paul is writing to the Christians in Philippi. Let's hear what he says.
3 through
verse 11, please.
Okay. I'll be reading from the King James Version. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God."
Is that a beautiful prayer?
Yes.
I was thinking about what you said earlier, Tricia Lee, about it's a very specific request.
Mm-hmm.
I'm praying not just for you, or bless Gloria, or bless Ulrich, but some specific requests.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do I know what request to make when I'm praying for someone? Ephesians 6:18 really summarizes it, and it comes back to something we said in a previous study about the importance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 6 and verse 18, and Ulrich, would you read that for us, please?
Reading from the New King James Version, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints."
What translation is that?
New King James.
Okay, that's the same as mine. I want another translation that puts the words in a different order. Jonathan, what translation do you have?
Contemporary English.
Contemporary English Version, with still Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. How does that translation read?
It says, "Never stop praying, especially for others. Always pray by the power of the Spirit. Stay alert and keep praying for God's people.
Pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. Does anyone have another translation? Some will put that, pray in the Spirit. Jamie, how does yours read?
I have the NIV. It says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer.
I like the ordering of that, pray in the Spirit. So now my question is, what does that mean? It's not like praying in some unknown language, right? Because they're very specific. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit?
Being guided. You're being guided by the Spirit. Yeah, you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And as you're praying, He's bringing to your mind those things that need to be prayed for.
A name of a person?
So you become a partner with God in ministry because now you're interceding on the behalf of someone else. And you mentioned, is it Hebrews 7:25, Christ as our high priest ever lives to make intercession, right?
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
So now we're working with Him in that,
is that exciting?
Ministry of intercession.
So God may bring a name and then a specific need, or is it possible you don't know what the need is, but I just bring this person before you? Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Yes.
And maybe then you're going to contact them and say, God just impressed me to pray for you today, that He bless you, but is there something specific I can pray for? Mm-hmm. Kenneth?
Yeah, recently we had a prayer session at church, and my wife and I were leading. So as we were preparing, something dawned on our heart that my brother was engaged in alcoholism and all sort of lifestyle. So something dawned on her that we should pray for my brother.
How far does your brother live from where you live?
He lives in Ghana.
So he lives
continent.
A continent away from you. But you were impressed to
and
pray for him.
We prayed, and something he's been struggling for over 10 years. Suddenly, everything. He called me. We talk on the phone, and my parents all this.
Praise
and
God.
Amen.
Serious worshiping God, and you know he doesn't even feel the urge to go and drink alcohol again. And I know this is what we call praying by the Spirit.
Praying by
it wasn't even in my mind, but we did it, and by the grace of God.
So it means to be guided by the Spirit, enabled by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit.
Yes.
Kenneth says, he was impressed to pray for his brother. I want to ask, how did that prayer make any difference? I mean, couldn't God have done that all by himself without Kenneth praying? Abigail, couldn't God have just done that all by himself? Do you think?
He definitely could have, but he wants us to experience his presence in our lives. And if we do have that faith and believe and follow, be obedient to that voice that is telling us to pray for certain people, you know, by doing that, there will be a greater outcome. And it will be a testimony for us, which will strengthen our faith.
Oh, I think that's so important. Absolutely. Nathan, you talked about joining Jesus in his intercession. Mm-hmm. I know not all of you could see Kenneth's face when he was sharing the story, but he was smiling.
Yes.
Why?
Victory.
Now it's bringing glory to God.
Yes.
You got to join God in what he was doing, right?
Absolutely.
There's one other text I wanted to look at. We're wrapping up our study, but the importance of prayer for disciples is Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It's a text maybe that some people, I don't know that they really understand it, so we need to spend a minute with it. What does it mean in Romans chapter 8, verse 26? And Jonathan, perhaps you could read it for us.
Yes, I'm going to use the NIV, I think.
The New International Version, Romans 8 is a fabulous chapter about salvation, but what does it say in verse 26?
In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans.
The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. One translation, with groanings that cannot be uttered. I wondered, how does the Holy Spirit help us? How does the Holy Spirit help us? And we've heard your testimony, but I want to look at one other text, if we can, as we wrap up here. John 14:26. Because I don't think it's like, well, Holy Spirit, you just pray about this because you know what to pray. I think the Holy Spirit, Tricia Lee, will actually help us. And John 14:26 is one of the ways. He may specifically just say, pray for your brother, Kenneth, but one of the ways he may help us to pray is found in John 14:26.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you.
I don't know how to pray. What promise do I claim for this person? Answer? The Holy Spirit will help you. Yeah. That's right. A mother whose daughter just ran away was struggling. And my wife had just memorized Jeremiah chapter 31, 16 and 17. Yes. Refrain your voice from weeping, your eyes from tears. Your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord.
Amen.
They shall come back from the land of the enemy. Mm-hmm. There's hope in your future, mm-hmm. says the Lord, yes. that your children shall come back
yes.
to their own. Now, how did my wife know to say that? Answer, Holy Spirit can help us, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So we get the word in our hearts, but prayer is also crucially important. Jonathan? Yes.
Can I just say, I like where you've gone with this. Sometimes it goes other directions. I know there's one translation of this verse that says that the Holy Spirit speaks with the words God likes. Mm. Or, I mean, like, there's some, you know, we don't know the right words, so we can't approach God unless we have the exact right words. And so the Holy Spirit kind of translates for us, and I was like,
I'll transform
that doesn't
our voice.
Fit with my understanding. It's like,
well, he's on our side for sure, and I'm not saying that we've got all of it there, but you know, how do I pray for, in the name of Susan, flashes into your mind, and God brings a text to you that says, you'll keep her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you.
Amen.
And I pray for that. Pray that promise,
yes.
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit could help you with that. Now, we've studied today about discipleship and prayer. What life-changing lesson have you learned? As a result of our study today, you say, this is important for me to remember. One last lesson.
It's very important to remember to pray for others.
Pray for others. Okay, someone else.
Prayer is important to my discipleship.
Prayer is important for my relationship with Jesus. Someone else, what's important?
Even if I'm not having a great day, like Gloria said, I can still pray for someone else because chances of me having a great day might not come often.
And you know what? Someone may be praying for you too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just want to thank you for being part of what God's doing in the world. And it's true. We need prayer. Others we know need prayer. But praise God, someone's praying for you today. Someone's bringing you before the presence of God for blessing. Yeah. And I just want to pray that this message about prayer and discipleship would sink deep into our hearts, and God would use us to bless the lives of those around us. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you've called us to prayer. We see it in the example of Jesus. We see the call to pray for others and not just for ourselves, to ask and we will receive. Teach us how to pray in Jesus' name with the assurance that according to your will, prayers will be answered by the power of your Spirit. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to challenge you to be a praying follower of Jesus and to see God work in supernatural ways. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email. Share what God's doing. And you know, the wonderful thing about studying the Word of God and being a follower of Jesus, it's not just to bless your life so you can live forever. It's so that God can use you to bless the lives of those around you.